This is Soundreel 19, continued.
It's a lot 100 acres over the back side there. Did you get over it?
You were nervous once?
God damn, I couldn't even sit in a chair one time.
Tell me about that. It's hard to believe.
Well, there ain't nothing to tell about it. That's all there was to it. That's when I first bought this place over. Everything went good for a year, and then everything went the other way after that. And then depression hit. And you're going behind every day, you begin to get nervous. You begin to wonder what you are going to do. And you couldn't find a job. And you couldn't sell anything off a farm. Nobody had no money to buy it. Your damn taxes and interest, they had to be paid. And there weren't no money to pay them. You got so damn nervous you didn't know what to do. But after a while, you got it into your head, didn't make any difference whether you got nervous or not, and you kind of got over it. That's what gets a man nervous. It's when everything goes just opposite from the way it's supposed to.
How's that?
When everything goes just opposite from the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is running smooth, and money's coming in. You were able to meet your bills and everything. There's no nothing bother you then. Hard work never hurt nobody. Don't mind the work if you get something out of it so you can keep even. Now, back in the early 30s there, when depression hit, there was a lot of people that had been doing business for themselves for years. They just lost out and didn't have a thing. They couldn't make a payment, couldn't get money to pay the mortgage or anything, and they just lost the whole thing. That's what makes a man nervous.
I think you're right.
Now I got so old, I ain't used to getting nervous.
Well, you're still here, and you're going to stay here.
Yeah.
I guess you get to believe in that after a while.
Yeah. Well, I made out a lot better than a lot of older ones that's been farming for years. We had a lot of them in this town that lost out. And all over the country, just saying.
Yeah, on the
Might be a damn good thing for the state if they get to showing that too. But just as sure as God made little apples, they're not going to have any farmers here. All they're going to have is a bunch of brush, and they're going to depend on the Western farmers to feed them. And somebody's going hungry.
That's exactly what this lady told me.
Yep. You can jump into a car, you can jump into your truck out here, and I can take you and I can show you 10,000 acres. It could be growing crops, it ain't growing nothing on the weeds and bushes. Good land, too. And most of your farmers down in the valley on your bottom land, they ain't raising anything to eat outside the milk. They're just dairy farmers, most of them. There ain't any reason why they can't raise plenty of stuff to eat. The land is the best here in Vermont. A little hard work. You must always get a season and get a crop here in Vermont. Oh, people are going to be hungry if they keep on. They're beginning to tell about shortage of this and that now in the food line. Well, it ain't no wonder nobody's raising any food. They all depend on somebody else, and they ain't raising it. Get your little farmer out, and his farm is all growed up to bushes.
And it's too late.
It's too late, then. And another thing that they ought to do in this country, and I can't see for the life of me why they done it in the first place, is let these damn Japanese and foreign buyers in here buying stuff and shipping it back to the old country and then shipping it on here again and make them pay the price for it. I can't see for the life of me why they let anything like that happen. Even telling now that the Japanese are going in to Maine butt up this year's potato crop.
Really?
Well, why do they let anything like that happen?
I don't know.
They've told that the Japanese bought the cotton crop in the south. Bought all the cotton. They're out in the big timber country in the west, Washington and Oregon. Buying lumber there and shipping it back to Japan. You take back when I was a kid on these farms, the farmers raised practically everything that they eat and their families. And they sold cream in cans. And everybody had 10, 12, 15 cows. They made a good living, all of these farms. They didn't buy practically anything on the white sugar. A few small things that they had to have. A lot of them bought flour. And then again, in wartime, World War I, they raised their own wheat and had it ground. Had their own flour. They didn't depend on somebody else for what they eat. They had the maple sugar, the potatoes, the beans, milk, cream, raised all their own meat. They didn't depend on somebody else to ship it into them.
This is Sound Reel 18.
Do you know what deer was feeding on?
That must be hurting the deer hunters if they know apples.
Yeah.
Bruce went the other day, and he sat above an apple tree. Sat there for 10 hours, didn't see anything.
Oh, I'll be damned.
So then he left, it got dark, and they were walking out of the woods, and he knew he forgot his canteen. So he went back, and he goes back, and the deer is licking his canteen. But he didn't have his bow with him.
Oh, I'll be damned. Had Clyde Lyon, you know Clyde.
Mm-hmm.
His father always went deer hunting. I don't know if he ever got very many deer, but he always would go deer hunting. And he said he was up in Hancock. And he said he'd hunted all day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And he got to take crap for himself. So he stuck his rifle up a tree and went up in the bushes there, in case there happened to be any women hunters or anything. And he said he just got his pants down, got his suspenders folded around, and like God, he said the biggest buck he ever see come laughing right by him. And he said there, his rifle down by the bottom of a tree, and he had his pants down. He couldn't do a damn thing about it. Boy, he said that made him mad.
If Bill and I
happened over here in Bethel, man, they had two grown sons, then they had a young son. And when they got ready to go up on the hill, they wouldn't let the young son go. And he had a 22 single shot. And they told him to stay in the car and not get out of sight of the car. And they went up and they hunted all day, and along 4 o'clock, damn buck come right down the road and right down and stood right in front of the cow, and the kid shot him with one shot. Had him all blooded out and everything, and they hunted all day and never even see one. The kid stayed in the cow and he got his buck. I got that, was pretty good.
With a 22?
Yeah. Did I tell you the one about the fella getting the deer over Bethel? Took it in the game warden and wanted to record it. And he says, "Where'd you get this deer?" "Oh," he says, "up on the hill up to a farm up there." I said, "You better turn right around and take it right back up there. It's a billy goat." God, he didn't know the difference. "I see a buck up here on yours. You saw it was a billy goat. His horns went right over back. He had just two horns."
"Oh, yeah?"
"He went right over back. He must have hurt him when he was young or something. He went right over back. He looked just like a billy goat."
Mm-hmm. Marsha, the other day, hit one.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
No.
Driving the car
yeah.
in Tunbridge. It was at night, and one ran right out in front of the car, and she was driving, and she hit it.
Yeah.
And it in the Ford. And I don't know what happened. Or I think they told the game warden. And he came and he got it. She was very upset about it.
Yeah. Well, I guess I pretty near hit the three, but I never did hit one. One right down by Georgie's there, where you turn to go up Georgie Lifeage.
Yeah.
Come right down over the bank. Boy, how I ever missed that son of a gun, I don't know.
Yeah, they put water in, I guess, across that road.
Yeah.
They're going to go all the way down, up and around.
Yeah. That's going to be quite a stunt if he gets water that way.
Yeah.
Probably will with the pump.
They say he found water way up in the woods somewhere up there. Come way down across
the brook. That's got to come across the brook.
Don't know how they keep it from freezing across the brook for 3 winters. He had... holes right across the road there. Half the time, it's all uncovered.
Yeah.
Right, going across the road there, just down below Bill's there.
Yeah.
All uncovered, half the time, toss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't freeze.
The following year, sometimes he'd have a hole in his pipe, you know, and it'd spray up and it'd be all ice around there.
Yeah. There
still is water, didn't freeze.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right there in the road, the pipe was all uncovered half the time, right side the road.
Ain't got hardly anything over it while it comes across the road there.
I guess it runs fast, doesn't it?
But running water. If you got running water into your house, gravity feed, and you leave your faucet on a little bit while water's running all the time, it won't freeze very often. But you take it, you shut it off tight. And by God, it'll freeze.
Goes right to sleep.
Yeah. But Earl, pretty lucky, he has to have water for all them drinking bowls, and he was a lucky man.
Yeah. The pigs get it right out of the brook.
Yeah. And years ago, when the building's up where Bill lives, the barn was on the lower side of the road, and the house was there where Bill's house is. And there used to be short of water. Short of hell water there in the summertime. But Earl, he dug that one below the house, and they dug the one up in the hills and piped that into the other one. And he's got plenty of water, which is worth a lot of money.
You figured there was ever water in this house?
In this house?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe it. I thought it. See, when I was a kid, we were digging the well out. And it went down about 5 feet from the top. They put the old pump log in. They used to use logs back in them days, bore a hole through the center by hand, and then line the logs up together. And my dad told me that the water used to be water because that was the old pump log. But I figured it out since I started to dig a ditch. That when they laid the well up, They put that pump log in when they got down so far, when they got laid it up so high. They laid that pump log in there with the intentions they were going to put water in. But probably they got right into the ledges, and you never could put pump logs through there. Not without blasting and everything else. But maybe with this plastic pipe, I might be able to get around the ledges.
Mm.
If I ever get to it, I've been at it for 5 years, going to have water and I ain't got it yet. If I'd felt halfway decent, I could have got it this fall, because this has been a good fall. But I guess we'll have to lug water again this winter. Hope I had any life, any gumption, just go at it and probably would have got it. Maybe I'll start next spring, maybe I'll get it. If I don't do anything else, only just that damn water.
Well, it's a bad time to be sick. It would have been better, I guess, to be sick in the winter.
Yeah.
When there's not that much to do.
Yeah, it's come right the bad time of year. But you can't pick a choice. You can't pick a time. That's the trouble. Oh, I got a little wood. I got a couple of loads cut up in the woods. Cut from last winter. And I got to get a road to it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Down in there, got it with the horses last winter. But I'm going to keep cutting and cutting back. Maybe I can get down there with a truck if it don't snow too quick. If it does, I'll take it out with the horses. Had it all piled up in good shape and the piles all fell down.
Maybe Friday we could, if you got two of us, and we're raring to go. We could, I don't know, would it pay for us to just to cut and load in the trailer and bring it in, or go after this wood you're talking about?
No.
That's just too hard to get.
Probably it'd be better to cut some more, and then we'll still have that anyway. Yeah.
Snow comes, you can get down with the horses after
that. Yeah, if snow comes, I can get it with horses. If I don't get down with the old truck. I was in there the other day, but I didn't get down that far. Oh, I got to cut quite a lot of bushes and stumps off and stuff.
I lost a little piece off my truck. Because going into my woods, piece of chrome.
Yeah.
And the road wasn't wide enough, you know. And I was just trying to go through. So I went back in there and I cut 5 trees, both sides. Couldn't find a piece of chrome.
No. Well, if you start using it in the woods, you can figure on scratching it up or banging it up.
Sure.
The old truck here, I broke the mirror and I've been over stumps and into stumps and everywhere else. We logged one about 70 quarter pulp off one lot, never even had a horse in the woods. Took this same old truck out here. Kept cutting the stumps off, short enough so I'd get over them. Keep backing right in there and saw up a load and throw it down, go out with it, and then back up a little further and get another load. Never even skidded a tree. About 70 quart of it.
When was that? What year was that?
Oh, you remember?
I know with noises and I helped, yeah. After I come up here.
I was 4 years married on it.
No, because I wound up here that much before we married.
No.
Must have been after we
been married 7 years.
Yeah.
About.
Early 60s?
Yeah, about.
I know it was after 60s.
Yeah, be around 60, 65, 66. That old truck, it's been a cocker.
Yeah, because I used to go there with you every day with Cora.
Yeah, yeah.
So it must have been after we was married, because I was up here all the time. So.
I see. And we cut off two different times up on Barker Bank afterwards.
Yeah.
Did you help him?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, help.
Cora, his sister Cora there.
Yeah.
She always helped him. She peels. He cuts and, you know, skids them. She peels them all.
Oh, that's right. You told me about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She likes to.
Helps him peel as much pulp as any man.
She was after him a couple of years ago to see if he couldn't get a job so she could work again, you know.
Helen used to peel.
I don't like to.
She don't like to, but she thought she'd got to be there.
I'm all right in the forenoon until it comes time to eat. And then after I eat at dinner time, I ain't no good in the afternoon. So if it didn't stop to eat, I'd be all right. So.
Yeah, it can slow you down.
Because I can't bend over that much when they go way down to the ground, you know, to get underneath them. But it don't bother Cora. She, you know, gets right down, goes underneath them, gets the back off. So.
God, we cut up about 30 cord in there without skidding any. Cut it right along this road. Made a good road for the truck, a big truck, Warren's. We cut and piled it up on each side.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Warren's horse to finish up with.
Over there on the Bronco bank there, I used to hitch the chain on the pulp after he cut it up and pull it down to the pile.
She'd take a great big block and pull it right down through the snow. Or it's block her big shoe was.
What do they do with the pulp when it gets to the mill?
I'll grind it all up, make excelsior out of it.
More. Oh, excelsior?
Yeah,
most of it went for war purposes, so they'll pack stuff with.
Well, years ago, they always used to use all that pulp and paper mill. Paper out of it.
Yeah, down there they didn't. They just made excelsior. They used more fir and spruce for paper than they did popple.
So there's a good call for it during the war and right after the war.
Yeah, right up till the damned Union got hold of it down there, and they said that he got to pay a certain wage. And he's got to pay certain benefits and everything, and God, he couldn't do it and come out even. And they said he'd either do that or he couldn't run, so he closed the doors. Not a whole damn business. There was probably, I don't know how many thousand cord they bought every year, but he couldn't keep it up. He couldn't keep up with it, the prices. He couldn't get enough to break even. And that's the same with all your woolen mills. Used to be a woolen mill on about every river around here. And God, I guess there ain't more than one or two. In Vermont, it's still running.
Mm-hmm.
The damn Union got a hold of it. It's too much Union and everything. They tell them what they got to pay and everything, and they can't pay it. And they pushed all these little sawmills and woolen mills and everything. Back in the 24, 25, back in the 20s, about on every bend in the river, you'd see a little stretcher mill, 3-4 men working. And they'd put out this stretcher stuff and dry it and ship it. And God, it made it a good job for them. And now you won't find one. Well, they're all gone. Up around Bridgewater and Woodstock. At one time, I know 9 or 10 right on that one river.
And they were all shut down there?
All gone. All the mills all fell in, gone, everything.
There used to be two over Queechy there, where that Queechy Lake's all body up there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Last I knew, Bridgewater woolen mill was still running.
I don't think it is now.
Yeah. And one up here at Northfield Falls. That's the only two that I know of. There used to be several. That one don't run in Enfield, did it?
I don't think so now.
And there used to be two in Lebanon. Both of them closed up. They got them big Rockdale store in one of them, and I guess that's closed up. Oh, hell, they used to employ a lot of people, and then there was one in North Hatland, and that used to employ a couple hundred. No? And now they're talking about selling all the cotton to Japan. They take it over to Japan and make it into clothes and stuff and then ship it back to this country.
That's a friend of mine.
Huh?
This guy, Trev. He was at my house the other day, and he's in the business of T-shirts. And he works in California, or he works for some people in California. And they paint on these T-shirts, and they sell them to kids.
Yeah.
So his job is to go buy the cotton. And he's been all over looking for cotton. And they have it, but they say it's all sold till 1975. He said, where's it going? They say they're shipping it to Japan by boat.
Yep.
And he said, I want to buy American cotton, and they can't get any.
No. My God, I can't see that.
There was a piece on TV the other night there about the people down, raised the cotton. They sold it, they have to sell it in the spring or something. They sold it in the spring and it was way down. Now cotton's way up, and they was complaining the other night, the people wasn't who sold it, that they thought that the ones that bought it should give them some more money for it now. Long as the price had gone up from the time they sold it in the spring. Something about they have to sell it in the spring or something.
They say that's what's making this lumber business so damn high. The Japanese are buying all the lumber in the West.